The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, August the 14th, 2016. Not broadcasting live from the studios of WGBB in West Babylon, Long Island, but we are broadcasting live from the Hyatt Regency, Long Island in Hophog, New York. Just finished a week of covering the National Hockey League Booster Club Convention, and I am here, Gary Harding, along with my tag team partners, as always, John Sweeney and John Panarese. Good evening, everybody. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
How was the week? You did a great job this week, Gary.
Oh, thank you, John. I appreciate that. Yep. Yeah, we had a long week. We've been here since last Saturday. We talked about it on the radio, obviously, over the past couple of years that we've been on. Actually, it's John and my third anniversary this month on WGBB.
That's right.
Congratulations, guys.
Thank you. Let me just do a little logistics and things. We are going to try to take calls tonight. I know I told people that we're at the convention this past week that we may not, but actually we're going to try. So if you're listening, I know a lot of people went home today. We still have some people here at the hotel. We got some people that are coming in later. If you get a chance and you are home and you want to talk about your experience at the convention or talk about hockey, we're going to talk a lot of hockey today. We're going to do some other things as well. We'll talk about the Mets game that just finished today. We'll talk about the Yankees. There's obviously some issues with the Olympics that's going on. Pro football is starting. So we got a lot of things to talk about. But if you're listening live on AM1240WGBB.com, make sure you give us a call. The number to reach us is 631-888-8811 is the number. We are going to be here till 10 o'clock broadcasting live. And again, for my my partners here, they know I've talked about this, and we've been folks at the Island, the Booster Club, my wife as the club president, myself as the chairperson of this convention. We've been working on this for about 22 months, and this past 9 days, all the work that we did came to fruition. And like I said, it was a fun week. For those of you who don't know, this organization, the National Hockey League Booster Club Convention that we've been a part of, it's been going on since 1971, so this is the 46th year.
It's incredible.
It's amazing. Yeah, it was set up by a bunch of folks from Detroit, Chicago, Pittsburgh, and I think the purpose of it at the time was to basically get together and explore different ideas, and especially in 1971, obviously the state of hockey was a completely different avenue than where we're in right now, and these booster/fan clubs were getting together to share ideas and, you know, have the little camaraderie with each other. And 46 years now that we've been doing this, I've been going to 27 of them, and I called it in my speech over the weekend a dysfunctional family reunion. And we welcome people from all over the country and Canada to come visit us all week. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of different trips together. Obviously, we gave everybody the chance to explore our island.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, we did a trip to Montauk Point. We did a trip to 9/11, which you obviously are very familiar with, John.
Very moving.
Yes, extremely. And unfortunately, we only got to listen to actually see half the place, and we spent well over 3 hours there. So it was really incredible. A few of us went to a Long Island Ducks game on Monday. We went to the Met game Tuesday night,
which
Stephen. You were there with us, and Stephen Matz, of course.
Last yesterday, you get to see a Long Island boy pitch with 7 shutout innings.
No hit innings. Right.
He went into the guy. 15 minutes from here.
Exactly. Gord Melville High School. Yep. And pitched a fabulous game. And well, again, continuing on, we did a trip to the North Shore Mansions. We went to the Vanderbilt and went to Sagamore Hill, which a lot of people thought was absolutely fantastic.
Right, that's a nice place to visit.
Yep, exactly. Then we did a trip to Fire Island, out to Flynn's. It was a great place. Have you guys ever been to Flynn's before?
Yes. I've been to Fire Island, but it must have been rough with the humidity and the heat, because I was there a couple of years ago.
That are here can either nod their head or say the humidity was definitely a problem on Thursday night. I think a few of us got bit pretty bad, but
it's a nice trip, though.
Yeah,
a couple of years ago.
Yeah, And then
miniature golfing. I saw you guys did miniature golfing.
Yeah, we had a bunch of miniature golf. We got a gentleman here from Pittsburgh who was one of our winners, and he's going to rub it in on me probably later on tonight.
Congratulations. Haglund saved you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Exactly. What we're going to do, by the way, what we'll do later on after the first half hour, I'm going to walk around with a mic, and we'll talk to some of the people that are here if they want to talk about their teams, what they've added, what they've subtracted, what they think's going to happen, and we'll get into that. But just continuing on the convention, after we had a trip to the wineries on Friday, we then started our festivities. We had a World Cup of Hockey theme night here on Friday night, and you obviously, John, took him home on Saturday. We had Jake McDonald here as our guest, who was a big, big friend of our club.
Excellent.
He actually, believe it or not, John, he was actually the guest speaker at the 1979 NHL Booster Club Convention, which was held at the time in Atlanta.
Wow.
So this is not his first rodeo with us Booster Club.
It's amazing. He actually was the first broadcaster for the LA Kings.
He broadcasted, and he actually gave some pretty funny stories about his days in L.A.
It was definitely a highlight for me to bring him back and sit there with him for the hour that we were in the car or so.
Yeah.
Good gentleman.
He is a class act. Like I mentioned when we had the start of the convention, all I had to say is, Jigs, we're doing a convention. He said, when and where? in typical style. Again, Jigs McDonald was our first, John and my first interview in 3 years ago this week, I believe. So he welcomed us to WGBB, and again, we're still here. And then after a little business on Saturday, we had a great Gatsby gala, and after everything was over Saturday night, I officially passed the gavel to the Los Angeles – actually, I didn't. My wife did as the president. She passed it on to the Los Angeles Kings Booster Club, and next year we're going to go head out to Los Angeles.
Now, is next year the 50th – is anybody here from L.A.? Is next year the 50th?
No, next year's the 50th for the LA Kings.
That's what I mean, for the Kings. Yes, they're having the convention, and they're doing their 50th year in.
Actually, Jigs actually said during the thing he's actually invited. They're doing some type of a ceremony or a thing, big gala with the 50th of the Kings. I assume Pittsburgh's going to have something too. Philadelphia, we got people from Philly the same way. So
that's a big one.
It's been a long week.
50.
It's been a long week.
Well, it's like training for the Olympics with you guys over here. Started a year ago.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, Ed, one of our guys from our club, has been relentless all week. Claire's obviously, we've had very little sleep over the past week. But, again, it's a labor of love. It's something we've been looking forward to for a long time. And now next year we get to enjoy the full thing. So
it must be awesome just to pull it off and just kind of now sit back and look back and, everything that you guys, had arranged over this time, and it all kind of unfolded.
Again, many of the people that are in this building have either done it or been a part of doing it. And, it's just a nice feeling that they tell you, a job well done. But the best thing about this convention, and I mentioned it in one of my speeches, is that, I call it the dysfunctional family reunion, but, it is family here. Everybody here, whether we see each other just the once a year in August or, our club, the Allen Brewster Club, makes a trip down to either Philly or Washington or goes on the road somewhere, goes on the air, it's nice to have a friendly face here or at wherever city you're going. So, we did two trips this year, and, it was nice to see people from Philadelphia, even though, we lost 5-0. we got destroyed, but they gave us good hospitality as always. We went to Washington last year. We lost in overtime. Are you spotting a trend? But we had a great time hanging out with them. Of course, it was 3 hours getting there and 11 hours coming home.
Traffic?
Snow.
Oh, snow.
Snow. Snow. But again, that's the best thing about it is there's a friendly face in enemy territory, and
they did a good job.
Yeah.
What was the highlight of the week for you this week?
What was the highlight of the week?
I know must have been a lot.
When it was over. No, it really wasn't. I think, truthfully, I had to get up on Saturday and I, had to thank everybody for coming. And when it got down to the end of thanking everybody, where I had to actually thank Claire for everything she did, and she's nopping her head down right now as I'm talking. I managed to get through without bawling like a baby. So that was the biggest thing, because without her, we wouldn't have got this thing done and be here tonight too. So anyway, let's talk about other things. I want to get through some other sports related stuff in the first half hour, and then, like I said, we'll take calls. 631-888-8811 is the number here to contact us at WGBB. You'll get in touch with Brian in our studios, and he'll let us know that somebody's on the line. I actually did, John, have a group of people. I took a van out, and a few people drove behind me, and we went to Citi Field. We were at Tuesday night's game against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the two people from Arizona are clapping right now and smiling. You know, very, very widely, and I don't have my glasses on, and they're in the back, and I can actually see that. But, you know, Arizona sweeps the Mets.
Unbelievable.
What is it with the New York Mets and teams that are in the bottom of the divisions?
I don't understand it.
We lose to Atlanta. We get swept by Atlanta.
Yeah.
We get swept by Arizona. But, I mean, San Diego comes in. We lose the first game there.
Yeah.
We're one game under .500. You wonder if Terry Collins is going to lose his job.
He goes off.
He goes off.
He goes ballistic. Said, this is it. Enough. He said, Conforto, they sent down.
Did they again?
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see him back
for the rest of the
season, which would be a smart thing to do at this point.
Right.
Let him get a little more practice down.
But anyhow,
more bats down there,
but anyhow, the bottom line is they win yesterday. And, of course, Steven Matz, everybody that doesn't know the pitcher for the Mets, he actually grew up about 20 minutes from here at Ward Melville High School. If you're also a baseball fan, was it Marcus Stroman went to the same school?
Yeah, Stroman
went from the Toronto Blue Jays.
Blue Jays.
Same and school. There's I think another kid that the Mets drafted that also came out of there too. So it's like a hotbed for pitchers in East Setauket. Mets went 7 1/3 innings of no hit ball. The Mets have only had one no hitter in their entire history, and some people will debate the fact whether there actually was a no hitter or not. Right,
Carlos Beltran, right.
Right, nobody's here from St. Louis, so they can't shoot us for that. But so 7 1/3, no hit innings, and Jose Reyes this afternoon looked like the Jose Reyes of old.
He just came off the DL 2 days
came
ago.
Off the DL, base hit, stole second, took third on a wild pitch, and on a bad throw, I should say, and then came home on a wild pitch.
That's what you need, speed,
exactly.
In top order.
So you had Reyes doing his job, and then. Our friend Bill from Pittsburgh, his favorite player, Neil Walker, goes out and hits another home run, and he's very happy with his boy for this week. And we could talk about that, too. Very hot lately.
Walker was a great player. Wasn't he up for the MVP a couple of years back?
In Pittsburgh. Right. Exactly.
He's become one of my favorites. I liked that trade when it was made, and I kind of expected that. I wasn't expecting him to hit 20 home runs, but he's certainly proving to be valuable now that they have no second base option with the trade for Bruce.
Right.
They got to sign him.
Yeah, they have to sign him. And, we ended up getting the player back that we lost
trade.
We gave to Pittsburgh. And
our trade.
I'm sure he's smiling. Bill is smiling right now, so I know he's happy that John Neese is away from the Pirates.
Thanks for giving him back.
Yeah, right. So 2 out of 3 with the San Diego Padres right now, 59-58, 2.2 games out of the wild card. So there is obviously some possibilities. Big three-game series coming up in Arizona. Big four-game series coming up. I know there's some people from San Jose here. Big four-game series with the Giants on the weekend. And, you know, the Giants are obviously battling with the Dodgers for first place in the West. So it looks like it's some rough times for our boys, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Cespedes is supposed to be coming back Thursday, right?
Yeah,
I believe
the rumor is Thursday. So that will be, again, big things for the Mets. Obviously...
He's got to stay off the golf course.
I had arrangements made on Friday night at this convention to have News 12 Long Island come and do a piece on fans coming for hockey in August, you know, getting ready for the season to start. But obviously we know what happened last week, that a little press conference came, and some 40-year-old man is announcing he's no longer playing, and Friday night was obviously Alex Rodriguez's last game as a New York Yankee.
Right.
Everybody that's sitting here right now, you know, behind the table here, obviously, we are not fans of the pinstripes.
Yes.
So, obviously, it's no big thing to see Alex Rodriguez go, but what do you think?
I think it's odd how it all of a sudden just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's a strange situation. I don't get it.
They weren't playing him much anyway. I mean, they still got to pay him to the end of the year.
Exactly.
$25 million?
Yeah. I mean, why don't just play him? I mean, he's 696. I mean, not
he's four home runs away. Yeah.
And you know that's going to bring in more fans. There are diehard Yankee fans that just want to see that 700 home run. You're filling the stadium.
Now I've got two people here from South Florida, and what do you think? I mean, do you think You think Alex Rodriguez may be maybe ploying to possibly playing home in South Florida?
I think he's going to play some plays before the end of the season. That's my suspicion.
I can't see him not
finish his career permanently with that 696 mark.
He's gonna go someplace else and hit a 700th home run.
And then he'll wrap
it up. We can talk about that them in a little
while. But they just lost Carlos Stanton for the season.
Oh, Giancarlo, yep.
Yeah.
Big injury.
You know, you want to bring the fans in? Sign A-Rod. You know, do what you got to do to get A-Rod or whatever you got to do.
Exactly. I mean, Miami's, what, 2 games ahead of the Mets right now?
Yeah,
I mean, that's a big, huge loss for Miami to handle with.
It's funny because A-Rod was growing up was a Mets fan. Yeah.
Really?
He grew up a Mets fan, yes. It just, that's why. Remember when Omar was here, we thought he was going to come to us. But he didn't work out.
And he went to Texas instead.
Yes. Yep. They gave him the money. It was all money thing.
So we've all now said that we just can't stand the New York Yankees. So that basically comes down to it. Okay.
Well, Yankee thing.
All right, but let's look at some other.
But you guys went to the. Did you go to the game?
How
was that? Now, tell us about that stuff.
Well, tell me anybody that went to the Met game here. How do you feel right now after coming back and being sweating all day? It was a great game. It was indeed. I mean, it was only 26,000 at Citi Field tonight, but
it was 101 degrees out.
It was 101 degrees out, and definitely the Mets looked a little shaky at the first inning. Gave up a walk and a balk and put him on second base, and then Rivera picked him off. You know, going to third. So, you know, he got out of the inning, and then once he did, he settled into a rhythm, did well. And he only had 104 pitches, I think, when he finally gave up the one hit, and Terry yanked them right away. And of course, I don't know, the new kid they brought up from Las Vegas in the ninth inning obviously gave up the one run to blow the shutout. But again, it was a great experience. Unfortunately, you know, the weather gods didn't help us this week. We were supposed to have very nice weather before we came out here to Hop Hog, and I know we went out miniature golfing Thursday, and some of us were literally dying, right, ladies? Yeah, my ladies from Chicago, yes, they're shaking, and Buffalo, they're shaking their heads, so I know that we had a fun. Come on. So
now, tell us about the dance. Would you have a Great Gatsby?
We had a Great Gatsby gala, so a lot of people here dressed up in flapper outfits pinstripe suits.
What were you wearing?
I had a pinstripe suit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I had 3 left feet, so I'm not going out.
Four.
Exactly. But I mean, there were certain little, couple of times I didn't get on the dance floor, especially Dan. You know, there's a lot of tradition steeped in this convention. You know, especially on Friday and Saturday nights, there's certain songs that we have to have the DJ do and things like that, and we always end with "That's What Friends Are For." So. No, again, a little sad. It was fun. It was fun. But, you know, that's what conventions are all about.
Yeah, everybody gets close. Even the Ranger fans were close with them, too.
Again, what I told especially people from our club that came for the first time, I said, you know what? You leave your affiliations at the door.
Right.
You know, we follow our teams with passion. We follow our teams, you know, tooth and nail. You know, we want my Islanders, we want to beat the Rangers. We want to beat the Devils, you know. The people from Detroit and Chicago, you know, two original six rivalries.
Right.
You think, you know, oh, these guys aren't going to talk to each other. No, that's wrong. There's a lot of love in this room, and it doesn't matter what team you belong to.
It's the game. It's the game of hockey, and it's just the whole brotherhood of being hockey fans.
It's what we love so dearly, and it comes out tenfold, you know, when you meet anybody that's associated with this organization. Again, we've got people in this room that have been coming to this convention. I'm not going to say the number of years, but it's a high number. You know, and this is my 27th, so
that's
I missed
insane.
One out of 28. I missed, so you know, it's a little surreal.
So now that you did a great job,
thank you.
Are you looking forward to the break and then start getting, and then the LA's got to pick it up and start.
They're going to start. I know there's some people here from LA. They're, you know, probably out of dinner right now, but, you know, they know we got the show going tonight, so they may be by later, so you can ask them that if we want. Let's see. What other things we need to talk about? Oh, yeah, the Olympics.
The Olympics.
So what do you think?
Let's go. USA.
USA, that's all I can say.
Michael Phelps is insane.
He's 23 gold medals in his career.
Yeah, I think he broke the record set by somebody in, what, 5 BC or something like that?
Yeah.
Somebody said that. I can't even believe they actually kept records of all this. But Obviously, did you hear? Obviously, the biggest story that happened was the Ryan Lochte situation.
Yeah.
Did you? You didn't hear about that?
Robbed.
No, Ryan Lochte got robbed and actually had a gun pointed to his head.
No, I did not hear this.
Supposedly, a taxi cab that they were in, they were leaving a party for at the British Olympic team place, and their taxi cab was stopped by somebody, and they told him to get out of the car. And Lochte kind of like said, "No, I don't want to." And it turned out they put a gun, basically pointed it to his temple.
Unbelievable.
Cocked and pointed his temple, and they robbed him not of his gold medals, thank goodness. But Rio obviously was a situation that nobody expected, you know, anything positive from. Obviously, the Zika virus and everything else. Obviously, you saw the green diving pool.
Water.
And now they're saying they're going to empty that pool.
Exactly.
I don't have an explanation why that happened.
I mean, how would you feel as an Olympic athlete to try to compete in events, for example, kayaking or the rowing? You know, you're doing eight sculls, and you're rowing in this water that's coming into your face. And they said people are wearing masks.
Yeah.
It was almost like the SARS epidemic all once again.
Yeah.
You know, obviously athletes didn't go. A lot of the professional golfers didn't go.
Right.
A lot of the professional basketball players, Chris Paul, among one, decided not to go. LeBron didn't go.
I agree with that 100% with them not going. Their opinion, but you know, I have an opinion about the professional basketball players going. And look, I love America and everything else, but. You're playing pro basketball players are being sent to play against these other countries that don't we have the best players in the world, and I think you could beat them with college kids.
All right, so taking an extension, since we got a lot of hockey people here, does that correlate the same way into the NHL?
Look, we did it in 1980.
I think they should go back to having it
with the kids.
Yeah, I think
with the kids.
Well, in some Olympic formats, for example, soccer.
They have to be
under 25 years of age.
Yeah.
At least on the men's tournament.
It was the first year that the girls didn't win, though.
No, soccer. The girls were knocked out by Sweden.
Right, first time they didn't medal. Yeah, but hockey, you know, Canada's winning every year. Well, the United States is going to compete for one of the medals, but Canada's going to get the silver or the gold. That's how it is.
It is what it is, because they're the best in the world, and we're among the best in the world as well. But again, you know, you look at that aspect. Again, everybody obviously.
Just watching the basketball players play the other play. They're like, even the women, the girls, the professional girls, they're blowing everybody out. That's not even, you know. It's great for us as Americans.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not enjoyable watching the game.
No, I totally agree.
That's my opinion.
I totally agree.
Anybody agree with that?
Yeah, I agree.
No, she says no.
The men almost lost today.
Did they?
Really? The men's basketball team almost lost?
I was watching the girls. They were destroying China today. The Americans?
Oh, so they got a scare then.
Well, that might be a good thing then.
Yeah, it could be a good thing. Maybe it wakes them up.
I can't believe anybody who plays in France are as good as our American pros.
But it just shows you that, you know, they maybe either ease up or are playing at 75% as opposed to the 70% that they're supposed to play. You know, that's
talent doesn't work.
That's right. And again,
the golf was exciting today for the. I think
America won the Bronx, right? Everyone won the Bronx.
Ketcher won the gold bronze, mm-hmm. and Rose won from Great Britain.
Justin Rose won the gold. Okay.
Oh.
And obviously now tonight you got the matchup between Usain Bolt and Justin Gatlin in the 100-meter dash.
That's going to be exciting. That's going to be very
exciting. Gatlin actually is the number one qualifier. It's not Bolt. Actually got the semi, so it should be. We'll see if he gets to win. He'd be the first runner ever to win three gold medals in the 100 meters.
It'd be incredible.
You know, I mean.
He said he's retiring after
he's
this.
He's retiring, and obviously Michael Phelps retiring with 23.
Right.
Lochte said it, he thinks he's going to continue. I think he's.
Lochte said he's definitely coming back. That last race he raced, he didn't finish fifth or whatever it was, sixth.
Now.
He said now he's going to have the drive to come back, and he's going to pry Phelps.
Now, speaking of Ryan Lochte, did you guys hear about what happened on the CBC?
No.
You may not have. Obviously, we all know when Jake McDonald talked about it because he watched it live in Canada before he came over. Elliot Friedman, who we all know, Hockey Night in Canada, great, great broadcaster, was announcing the finals of that event with Michael Phelps and Ryan Lochte, and somehow he got it confused. He actually was saying that Lochte was winning and Phelps was losing, and then obviously we all know the graphics that once the winner touches, it shows the flag and the name, and all of a sudden he went, uh-oh, oops, my mistake, oops. And he got
obviously killed on Twitter and every other social media outlet, but Ryan Lochte, I think, loved it. He laughed his head off after that, so I think that's a great, you know,
I mean, it's not an easy thing to call when these guys are having their head down as soon as
they're Yeah, you can't. Unless
you actually see their name.
Hey, it's a hard thing having to do this, and especially now in front of a crowd. We're only looking at Brian all the time.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But, doesn't make no difference to me.
Yep. All right, so you know what? In the last couple minutes before we go to break, let's talk again. We'll start and talk about our guys, all right, since we all three follow the blue and orange. All right, so
talk about Franz Nielsen leaving, going to Detroit.
And we got some people from Detroit that are
happy. He's happy.
We'll talk about that, too, because what's going to happen actually in the second half hour is I'm going to walk around with the mic, and we'll get some people up, and we'll talk about their teams and stuff. But
I just want to say, the three that left, Martin, Oposo, which I love all three of them, Franz. I was more upset about Franz leaving.
Yeah,
so I still don't understand it. The Islanders basically offered him almost exactly the same money he got in Detroit, but he said he wanted to change.
And he wanted more time. And we offered more time, right?
Yeah.
We offered more years.
More years.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up here. You know,
he's drafted at 19. He's 31.
I could see Oposo leaving, getting that money up in Buffalo.
Now, obviously, he's the same kind of. He's a similar kind of a player as a dad. Not to his level, but he is similar. That's a.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Yes. Strong on both sides of the puck. I mean, the only thing that. And Detroit's going to love this because Franz Nielsen is the all time leader in shootout percentage.
Right.
He's running at about a 60% clip.
Very
you're going to see the first game he plays for you. He's going to do this little deke and he's going to lift it right over the goaltender's shoulder, right? Knock the water bottle down.
Forehand back in.
Forehand back in and knock the water bottle down. And, you know, Claire and Eddie can testify about that, right? But Claire didn't lose her Josh Bailey.
I have no comment.
Josh has got to step it up this season along with Ryan Strome and Brock Nielsen and Anders Lee.
You gotta see, my thing is that with Tavares, you have to find two guys that are going to play with Johnny and keep those guys together.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of switching Strome, you know, Bailey, then you're moving this guy. You know, he had Franz on there, he had a Postal on there, he was moving things around. I want to keep two guys and get the nucleus to get together.
Will Andrew Ladd be that person?
I wonder if it's going to be Ladd and Parento.
PA or Jason Chimera?
Yeah, it could be Chimera.
Because he needs some grit on his side.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, I mean, we love Kyle Oposo, but you know there's been times when, especially when JT needed somebody, and he kind of disappeared.
Yes.
At bad times.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll
Well, what do you think of that? I mean, that's a big. You're right.
Well, again, I think, and again, you know, you guys know, I go into the locker room enough, and I think from what I've heard from people from Chicago and people from Winnipeg, that Andrew Ladd is incredible in that locker room. He was a major factor, and our friends from Chicago are shaking their heads right now, saying, to me, that's big. That's bigger than anything. You can have a JT. You can have a kid that's quiet confidence. But if you don't have those leaders in the room, and yes, you got a Johnny Boychuk who's won a Stanley Cup, obviously, and you got
Nick Leddy,
who's a younger person than those guys, but he also won a Stanley Cup.
Nick Leddy,
Chicago guys are raising their hands for Minnesota.
We got very lucky getting both of those guys. They fell in our laps because of money.
Exactly, but I think the biggest key is how Andrew Ladd gets those guys on his back and takes them with him.
Right,
you know, let Johnny be the scorer. Let Johnny be the leader, you know, with the points. But Andrew Ladd be the leader on the ice. And I think that's a big thing to get to the next level. You know, we won that first playoff round for the first time in
2020.
I forgot. Remember, we got people from Florida here. So we got to be nice. We have to be nice.
We do?
Yeah, she's looking at me with evil eyes right now. So we've got to behave ourselves. And we will. And you know what? We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna pay some bills, and when we come back, I'm gonna walk around with the mic, and we'll talk to some folks here at the NHL Booster Club convention. This is Sports Talk 1240. Gary, John, and John here. We're gonna be back in a couple minutes. Please stay tuned. Again, 631-888-8811 is the number if you want to call on the show. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Okay, let me just, we're just getting hooked up to the wireless, or the wired mic. Okay, we are back on the air on Sports Talk 1240, WGBB, broadcasting live from the recently completed NHL Booster Club Convention at the Hyatt Regency Long Island in Hop Hog. And again, thanks to the Hyatt for helping us out and getting us here live. This is, again, our first remote in 3 years.
Pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome, huh? You're not to be in that cooped up studio?
Oh, yeah, no. No, it's only, nobody can, I could roll out of bed and come here.
And again, for those of you that are on AM 1240 WGBB, if you click on the studio cam, you're not going to see us. All you're going to see is Brian Gray is behind the glass. And Brian, thanks for everything you're doing behind the scenes. I am actually walking around with a mic, and I'm going to walk around this room. I do have enough room on the mic, but I'm not going to try to put anybody on a corner. But since we are at a hockey convention, and I know we do a lot of other things all the week, but, you know, we do have one love that we're all here for, right? That's the game of hockey. So, of that game. So, anyway, if you want to come up and talk, just let everybody know, obviously, who you're from, what club you're from. And I know I gave my guys some homework assignments, so hopefully they're up to speed. So, we talked about our team, the Islanders.
Yes.
And that's what we basically do every 3 or 4 weeks when we're on the air.
Where did Arizona go?
The Arizona contingent actually left and coming back.
They
but anyway,
the building.
I'm gonna actually go to my buddy Bill here because we've been talking all week. And again, Bill is from Pittsburgh.
Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Congratulations.
It was an amazing, amazing run.
Amazing, Hagelin. You got a.
Did you have any idea, truthfully, come December 1st when they fired your coach and they brought Sullivan in? Did you have any inkling that you would be sitting here in June, smiling ear to ear? What?
February 1st, that's a little different story because I think I remember talking to you one time about it. And when we went on that roll after all the changes, the coaching changes and all the trades and acquisitions, I said, you know, the way this team's playing right now, by St. Patrick's Day, we may be in second place overall in the division. Well,
pretty good prophecy.
Yeah, I was off by a week. So,
yeah,
well,
close enough.
Well, you got a fantastic young goaltender.
Yeah.
That put the team on his back.
That was the other thing. If you would ask, you know, even in February, are you going to win a Stanley Cup with Matt Murray in that? Most people would go, who's Matt Murray?
Yeah,
well,
Matt,
wasn't he was? Yeah. Didn't he win the MVP of
the AHL?
Right.
Yeah, he was the AHL MVP
now,
the previous season.
The question is, what's going to happen with Fury with you guys?
Nothing this year. There's going to go with two goalies.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Do you think he's going to be the starting goaltender in Las Vegas next year?
Matt Murray or Fleury?
Fleury.
I would.
It could very well be. I mean, a lot of things could happen. We all know that, you know, what's going on. But there's always that possibility. Since I don't believe they've finalized who you can keep yet or how many players you can keep for the expansion draft. But it's definitely going to be an interesting story. And the best thing about it is one of the reasons they were successful is Fleury didn't, you know, I'm sure he wanted to play, but he took Murray under his own wing and he gave him the confidence, you know, to keep doing what he was doing the whole time. And there was no complaining. There was no, you know, sour grapes. There was no, he, he was a true teammate, which is what, you know, in that type of situation, doesn't happen often, but it's what you needed. And it was one of the reasons overall, you know, I think why we did it is not just because of Matt Murray, but because of all the young players that we brought up this year.
Right.
This was the first time that I can remember in a long time that we brought young kids up, young forwards up. We've always had young defensemen, but this time we brought young forwards up that brought a new energy to a team, which it's hard to believe when you talk about old veterans like Malkin and Crosby who are only 29 years old,
right.
needing young kids to motivate them. But it was. It actually gave them all a new sense of life, and it gave them a new outlook and everything, and with the coaching change.
And also Hagelin came.
Well, Hagelin coming, and then like the Trevor Daley.
Changed the dynamic of the team. And like most of those young kids that came up all had that same aspect.
They
had speed.
Absolutely.
And that's what just turned the whole thing around. And it was definitely watching two different teams play the first half of the year and the second half of the year. And going into the playoffs, like I said, just the way we were playing, I mean, even we've won it, you know, a couple times in my lifetime. I had total confidence that we were going to beat Washington. I said, I want to play them because I think we can beat them. That's the way how good we were playing at that point. I didn't think there was a team that was going to beat us. Now, could someone have beat us? Tampa Bay almost did.
Yeah.
You know, they were up and it was, you know, a little nervous time, but I just had that confidence because the way the team was playing and they just had that style. And we got into the finals, you know, against San Jose. It was like, okay, it's similar to playing Washington again. And
Washington has a problem too. They can't get out of the second round.
Yeah, well,
they won the first round and they can't.
Washington people here.
I think he's saying too bad.
if people from Washington were here, they would tell you, well, when they see Pittsburgh all the time in the playoffs, it's, you know, they thought this was the time that they were going to get redemption from all the other years when they thought they had us, you know. But they had the team, and just like I said, they. I don't want to say they peaked too soon, but, you know, the run they had was incredible.
Yeah, I think they did peak too soon.
From the start to the end, but you know, sometimes you just, I mean, we could say the same thing happened back in 1993 when some team from some island city knocked off a two-time
Stanley
Cup champion, you know, because we simply ran out of gas at that time, you know.
Right. Now, just say the word David Volek, right?
Yeah, that's right.
No.
I want to say this.
Those are two phrases, the two names that are banned.
Congratulations.
It's like if you're a Red Sox fan and you have that certain middle name for Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy you just mentioned has that same middle name in Pittsburgh, so...
Well,
he's a name that doesn't get mentioned very often.
Do you think they're going to be able to keep all these guys, like Malkin and those guys?
Aren't they really close to the cap at this point?
We're always close to the cap. I mean, but the advantages we have right now, we don't have to have a lot of turnover because we have these young guys now.
Right.
They signed, like, the core of those young guys. They signed them all the three-year contract extensions this year during the season because they're all playing so well. And they have, obviously, they're very cap-friendly contracts because they're just still very young players. So it kind of neutralizes some of the big-term contracts. Now, when they come up again, you know, when the big contracts come up, like Fleury or Malkin or Crosby's contract comes up again, that could be a, you know, different story altogether.
I don't think Crosby's going anywhere. Yeah. He's staying on that team forever.
Oh, yeah, but even like a Chris Letang, you know, I mean, you still got to have those cornerstone people. And those are ones that were around in 2009, too. You know, and they're not, like I just said, they're not that old either.
Yeah. No,
you know,
no,
you guys turned 29.
You guys did a great job. I mean,
as a hockey fan, it was an awesome, you know, experience.
Well, we have to admit, and when it happened, and I said this a couple of years ago, I didn't think Jim Rutherford was necessarily the right person for the job, but he did just as great a job as anyone in that organization this past year. I mean, from who he signed, the moves he had to make, you know, he brought it to us. You know, the players had to perform, obviously, but they wouldn't have been able to do it without the moves he made.
Plus, Malkin was out for a long time, too.
And they still...
That's when the bigger winning streak started.
Right.
Right when he got hurt.
They picked it up. Everybody picked it up when he went out of the lineup, and that made the big difference.
I mean, the one guy, you know, it makes a difference who hasn't been re-signed yet, and that's, you know, the question right now is a 39, 40-year-old Matt Cullen.
Yeah.
You know, he was playing like he was 29.
Yeah.
You know, so...
No, do you think he might have been the biggest glue that moved you guys to that level? Is again, we were talking with Andrew Ladd. It's that experience in the locker room. You can be, I mean, you have a Stanley Cup champion in Malkin and Crosby and all that, but you have a guy with that experience in Matt Cullen, and that just it takes pressure off the Sidneys and the Evgenys to let them just play their game and do whatever. You have the guys, you know.
Knowing those guys.
you know, the Malkins and the Crosbys. They put their own pressure on themselves. They don't need anything from the outside because, you know, that's when elite players do. They, you know, they have their own internal pressure they put on themselves. So, but when someone else can handle maybe someone else, like I said, the younger kids, and talk to the younger kids so they don't have to, you know, that's how everything comes together. That's how you create a champion.
Well, yep. You remember, John, I think it was towards the end of March, we had a Saturday afternoon game in Brooklyn against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Was that the 5-0?
Yeah, that's the Murray game.
Yeah, that was his, yeah.
That was his
first shutout, first win, and he shuts us out, makes us look like complete garbage. And I know on the ride back from the train, we were not, yeah, my wife's shaking her head. Yeah, that was, I thought, a big step, and it took the pressure. Obviously, it took the pressure off Fleury, and it let him be the man. And again, you know, kudos to Marc-Andre for doing what he did for that. He didn't have to, but he did.
He got him there.
Well, and the other thing was, too, you know, just from an organizational standpoint, if you looked at both of them, they didn't have to rush him back from, you know, a concussion injury, which you never know how those are going to be. I mean, they both got him at the same time. Murray was able to come back. Fleury wasn't right away. But because of that, you know, because Murray played so well, you don't, I mean, yeah, in this day and age with concussions, we all know how they can go. So you never have to worry about rushing, you know, an elite goaltender back when you have someone that your backup's not playing that
right,
well.
Right, right.
Plus you had the other young guy, but I guess you really I can't recall his name.
Jeff Zachoff.
Zachoff. But I guess you released. He's not along with the team anymore, right?
Yeah, right.
I believe he's in Calgary, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that's where he was.
Yep. So you've been coming a long time. You missed a couple of conventions, but you came back this year. Just tell everybody, what is your, I guess, favorite thought of coming out to this event every August?
Oh, that's easy, the people. I mean, you mentioned it before. We are, you know, dysfunctional family, but we're a family. That's the bottom line. I mean, just to summarize right up now from people outside who may not, like you were mentioning before, you know, we kind of put our allegiances out the door when you see someone. I mean, I'm sitting at a table right now writing to someone from Philadelphia. Right. How often do people from Pittsburgh and Philadelphia sit together cordially? You know,
it is a very good thing that we don't have a camera going on right now.
But I mean, that's what it is. You know, I mean, and it's funny.
The birds are flying.
We just started talking about that. You know, and there was an article I was just reading from back home, thinking about this. I go, as everyone knows, the stadium series is going to be at Heinz Field this year between the Flyers and Penguins. And I'm thinking it's probably not going to be a good idea to put 30,000 Philadelphia people and 30,000 Pittsburgh people in one stadium at one time for a hockey game. That could be interesting. I go, I'm glad I'm going to be at home watching it on TV.
Yeah, that's where I'd want to be.
Well, maybe not at home, but
yeah, I get it. That's great.
That's going to be awesome. Well, one quick question, Gary. What was the highlight of the week besides everybody else here, the events that you did?
Winning the 50-50. it's been a great week for me. I mean, it always is and stuff like that. I had a pretty good, after the first day, I had a pretty good week. You know, you mentioned we had a little miniature golf tournament. You know, I ended up winning that.
Oh, very congratulations on that.
Pittsburgh's winning everything.
Yeah, I said it was our year. When I found out I won a 50, I said, it's just simply our year, you know. So, yeah, I'm going to take a lot of things home. You know, a lot of good memories, as always. It's always tough when you leave because you miss the people so much, and some of them you know you won't see for a year, maybe more, depends what happens. But this week is always the highlight of my year, you know. And I feel when, like Gary said, sometimes I've missed them, and especially now with social media, you know, you can see what everyone's doing, and you miss them even more when you see that and you're not around. But as we've already, and my one friend already started beat me to the punch, already posted, we only have 356 days till next year.
I love that one.
And it's just amazing how the countdown clocks came out. You know, once, you know, we left, it was in Nashville last year. Again, our friends from Detroit actually hosted the convention in Nashville. So it's even a bigger job than, like, say, that what we had, because they're not even in that city. They obviously have to take care of arrangements from Michigan to Nashville. You know, obviously the convention chairs and that had to make a couple of trips to the hotel to take care of the arrangements, and obviously a few trips, absolutely. You know, had to go make sure that the destinations they were doing, we went to Elvis' house in
Memphis.
That's
awesome. I was there.
Yeah, it's a great place.
That's
isn't
it? Graceland is
so
incredible.
We obviously they're doing all that from hundreds of miles away. I mean, you know, Claire had to go out to the, you know, you know, make phone calls out to Montauk or go out to the Vanderbilt Mansion or what have you. You know, that's a short trip for us. That's 20 minutes. You know, 9/11 is just an hour. You know, obviously, well, actually, believe it or not, John, we set a window of 2 hours and 45 minutes to get from Hop Hog to 9/11. Believe it or not, we made it in 85 minutes.
Wow.
I think it's a record. I don't think I've ever done in my car 75 miles an hour on the Long Island Expressway, 8:30 in the morning. And that bus driver was booking it. So, but like I said, Detroit. You were talking to the guys from Detroit, John, before.
Yes, Franz.
Franz Nielsen.
You guys are lucky.
You're missing. You're taking one of our guys away, and you get a look of happiness on your face.
Well, we need somebody to help make up for the loss of Pavel Datsyuk. Pavel's in his later years with us, but your guy's going to be well received. To make some of the thing out of it.
Exactly. Obviously, we all know it's the last season at the Joe.
Yeah.
The Lewis Arena
to me is very sad.
What's been? I know you guys. You talked in your speech, Lorraine, that you had a private tour of the new potential arena. What's been the general thought in Detroit about it? I mean, obviously, I know. I know we like when we have the Nassau Coliseum or Shea Stadium. The expression was it was a dump. But it was our dump.
Right.
And obviously, it's the oldest arena in the league right now. Obviously, it's got, I love it. It's got to me, have you guys, John, you ever been out in Detroit?
No.
I'm telling you, the charm in the arena is what makes it. Okay? It doesn't have all the amenities of a Staples Center, of the Barclays Center, of the First Union in Philadelphia. It doesn't have all those foo-foo things, if you will, but it's got the charm. And very few places that I think is louder than Joe Louis when that place is rocking.
It's a great place to watch a game.
It is a great place to watch a game. There's no almost. I would say, and again, I'm biased, but I think outside the Coliseum, I don't think there's any other better sightline than in Joe Louis Arena. So, with that in mind, what's been the core thought of the moving to?
Everyone's looking forward to the new arena. Everyone, and it's located too near every place else, near Comerica Park, Ford Field, so everything's right there. But the whole district is going to be fantastic.
See, that's fine. That's a good way to do it because you got the football. I got everything's right there: baseball, football, and you have your hockey. Right?
And that area has become revitalized so much. I mean, obviously, we see it in stories. There's a lot of things. Not so good things, and it's I think wrongly said about Detroit, but I mean, if you go down to Comerica, and it's an absolute gorgeous facility, and I think the Red Wings and their fans deserved it. Now, is it going to be about the same size capacity-wise for hockey as it was in the joke? Because you guys can get there's nights where you guys get 22,000 with standing room, and it's insane, John. It's insane.
That's incredible.
It's going to be approximately the same size or seating capacity as the Joe. At first, we'd heard it was going to have fewer seats, but the last thing we've heard, it's going to be up and around the 20,000 seats. So,
which is perfect. Yeah, well, remember, this is a city that, when they had their Winter Classic, had, what, 110,000 people at the big University of Michigan? Yeah, you froze.
It snowed. It was 3 or 4 inches of snow on all the seats.
Now that's an outdoor. That's an outdoor classic.
Oh, right. But it was fun. Oh my God, was that fun?
Are you Michigan State or Michigan fan?
Well, I didn't go to either one, so I'm a fair weather fan. I hate to say it, but whoever's doing good, that's who I root for. As long as it's a Michigan team.
Well, it's funny. There was another couple from Michigan that were here all week, John. And through the stories I heard, he's wearing his Michigan hat. But he had to send money to Michigan State for, 4 years or something like that. And he said he was cursing himself every time he was sending the check out to Lansing instead. But, the one thing that I'm totally impressed in, not only from the Detroit fan club, because these guys are just awesome. They've actually hosted conventions not only in their own hometown in 1990, which was my second year, but in 2005, was it? Four. 2004. I know the banner's not here, so I don't remember the years. In 2004, John, they hosted the convention in Toronto because in order to be in this organization, you have to be obviously separate from the actual club. And I believe Toronto has fan clubs and things like that that they run, that the Leafs run. So they're not a part of our organization. So these guys, not only did we have a great time in Toronto, but the pièce de résistance, our Friday night party, like I said, we had our hockey World Cup of Hockey night. We had a private party in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Just us.
Wow. That's
they closed really the place cool. down, and it was our building for the night. I mean, talk about the most awesome thing for especially everybody in this room that went. You know, that was like Nirvana.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been to the Hockey Hall of Fame with, you know, when it's a full boat in there, and you can't get into some of the exhibits. And, like, you know, we had, you know, obviously the interactive games, all the stuff that was going on. It just, you know, it was like one of the most
highlight.
It was like a five-year-old kid with candy. You know? Like, you know, we were just bouncing off walls. It was so great. But obviously, losing Datsyuk is a big thing. And you have obviously the big, not a controversy, but the big thing with goal. You know, obviously, Jimmy Howard has done a great job over the years. Now Mrazek's coming in. You know, it's going to be it's obviously going to be an interesting transition year.
Yes, it is. Everybody seems to be going with Mrazek because he's younger, at least a lot of the fans. But I myself, I Nets. Still like Howard. Okay. You know, I'm still he's proven himself to me. He was doing good last year until he hurt himself. Then when he came back, he didn't have it.
I think it was too soon. I think it was too
and then he, you know, he got it back together getting near the end of the season. So I still like Howard. Mrazek, I think, is going to be a great goalie, but I still think it's Howard's time.
It's going to be a big competition come September. And obviously, is Howard going
to
run for Team USA?
I do not.
You don't know. Okay. John, homework assignment. Check it out.
He's been on there for a long time.
Yep. But anyway, as I was saying to you guys, John and John, as we've talked about this over the last couple of years, it's held in a different city every year. Okay. We held it. Obviously, this year, next year, it's in Los Angeles. I know there's people from LA here, and hopefully they'll be here in the next hour and change. But in our quote-unquote business meeting, we actually decided and voted that 2018, our friend Bill from Pittsburgh is going to have to go across I-80 to eastbound, or 76, actually, sorry, down the turnpike, I know, sorry. They're going to have to go down to Philadelphia. And again, again, Palma here is going to be helping running the show in Philadelphia. Now, again, we all know our rivalry with Philadelphia obviously started when Leon Stickel missed that offside call, supposedly.
Yes,
supposedly.
Nah, he didn't miss nothing.
Yeah.
I saw it. Don't worry.
I was there.
Well, that's an inside joke right now, John. Thank you very much. But anyhow, again, as it shows, we could talk about it like this as jokingly as possible. And our booster club came to Philadelphia this year and got shellacked 5-0. But some of us did leave at least with a smile on our face. Again, you know, obviously the Philadelphia-New York rivalry over the years can be pretty demonstrative in whatever sport you pick, football, baseball, basketball. Guys, you can come in with every sport. But, however, in this room, everybody's equal. And obviously, Philadelphia's got some interesting changes going on. They've who would have thought that Shane Gostisbehere would have came out and did the season he had? I mean, he's up for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
I mean, did you guys expect him to come out of this and just raise up his level of his game?
Well, a lot of us were hoping that he would because we the Frozen Four when he played the Frozen Four in Philly, mm-hmm. That's when people started looking at him, and he was good. He was wonderful.
He was wonderful. Okay. Obviously.
But he's not going to win Rookie of the Year.
He's not going to.
No. Because that's like we've never have 50 years in the league and we've never had a Rookie of the Year ever. So.
Draft better. Okay, here we go. Here goes the Pittsburgh Philadelphia rivalry going on. Good thing this is not on TV. Good thing we can't see this. However, I mean, Philadelphia had a very good season, an unexpected season.
We weren't expecting much, so we were happy with what we got so far.
You got to the playoffs, faced your friends in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And again, nobody expected you guys to do what you did, and you gave them a run for their money.
We were looking forward to it, though, because everybody knows about the Washington choke. No, sorry. Anybody here? No. Oh, never mind.
No, we do have one.
Yeah, but I can outrun him, so.
Another inside joke.
So it doesn't matter, you know, as long as they're not dogging it, they'll get your
And again, I know in a personal standpoint, you haven't been around in a couple of years, and we're glad you came back this year.
Thank you.
Again, you know, that's the thing with this convention is when you miss somebody for a couple of years, it's like all of a sudden they show up and, you know, first your heart pitter-patters because we know you're coming back. And, well, I knew you were coming back because I was handling all the applications. But, again, what did you miss the most?
Exactly what Bill said, the people. You know, it just the highlight this year was obviously us getting the bid for 2018. And just the inspiration of some of these people, like when you ask for help. As soon as you asked for help for taking people to the airport and stuff like that, it was like, boom, everybody had a ride. Even with the problems with the Long Island Railroad and stuff like that. It's just, you know, it's wonderful. There were people who needed rides to Catholic Mass. One of the first people that stepped up were people who weren't Catholic and came to Mass with us. It was awesome. And you turn around, it's like, isn't he Jewish? But it was neat. You know, it was just,
that's, you know, fantastic.
I mean, Hall of Famer Rod Freeman.
Yeah, the gentleman from the New York Ranger fan club actually helped take some people to church.
That's very nice.
Who would have thought, you know? I mean, but anyway, we are so glad. I know everybody in this room is so glad to be going to Philadelphia in 2 years.
Do our best to give everybody a great time because I thought we did pretty good in 2007, and we're going to try to top that in 2018.
Okay.
Well, that's what we want to hear. Now I'm going to go over to. Well, we're going to go take a break. Okay. So we are going to go pay some more bills, and we're going to come back in a couple minutes. We're going to continue the conversation. Live from the Hyatt Regency, Long Island in Hopog, this is Sports Talk 1240 WGBB, and we'll pay some bills.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
New York and the Long Island. The Hyatt Regency, Long Island, and I've been running Being Here all week, and I still get it wrong. Anyway, you're here at Sports Talk 1240 WGBB. Gary Harding, John Panarese, and John Sweeney here with you, covering for the next hour. Again, it's hockey in August, okay? We talked about the Mets. We talked about the other things, but we've been here for hockey all week. And I would be remiss, especially for the new rivalry we have, at least for our guys, talk to our friends from Florida. So I'm coming over to behind here.
We're going to Florida.
Now, I have Andre Joe LaPomme, who former president and the current president of the Florida Panthers Booster Club. And obviously you guys know, John and John, we had an interesting playoff round, right?
Yes.
Yep.
For the record, I think Florida probably should have won that.
I love you.
The love affair's over now. But again, we
got lucky.
As hockey fans, again, I'm going to say there was some, obviously we all know there was some situations that happened that were a little bit tough to swallow for, unfortunately, our friends from Southern Florida. And it obviously became a factor in that playoff series. You all know it, right? We all know what happened at the Barclays Center. So, you know, it was tough. Our friendships, and I love these two so much, you know, personally. But obviously we had a little bit of a quandary, you know, in those couple of days, you know, after Game 5. So, but again, all is good in the world in this room because we obviously forget about what happened. But you, John, you got to admit, Florida's got a great future, don't they?
Yes.
Without a doubt, that's a team that's to stay. And they made some moves in the offseason just to make, you know, on their defense to make it better too. So,
I mean, are they seriously? Do you think seriously they can challenge for the Eastern Conference?
I think it's possible.
Our owners have said that this is our year. That's what they've said. Doug Cifu himself said that. He said, don't even worry about it. This is our year.
You think so? John?
No.
No.
No, that was the other John.
That
was the
other John.
But I do love you.
Your owner is from Long Island, I think, right? Isn't he Brooklyn or Long Island?
Again?
Your owner is from Long Island or Brooklyn or something like that.
I know he's in New York. I don't know where specifically.
I think he's from Brooklyn. Yeah. Brooklyn. And Brooklyn. He's an Island. He grew up an Islander fan, obviously.
Not anymore.
Obviously, no. I know.
I mean, these guys have gone. I talked to Andre earlier about the trips that they actually made to Edmonton and Vancouver, and their owners kind of did some nice things for you guys on that trip, correct?
You answer.
Yeah, they actually are good to our club. They are the kind of owners that, you know, basically our owners.
Oh, I just didn't get any.
No problem. Basically, our owners, or anybody in the organization, they get free membership in the club. But the owners are not like that. They're like, no, we're going to pay for our own membership. They'll pay $100 for this and do things for our charities and help us out. I mean, they're just absolutely 100% behind us, and they've been so good. I just love them.
At least they're behind the team. That's a good thing.
I mean, we all know, John, our troubles in Brooklyn that we've had with Brett Yormark at the Barclays Center. And again, you just heard it ill because they had their brother, and their brother almost destroyed the organization, right?
Almost destroyed our club. He's just this completely anti-booster club. And I don't even think he likes hockey, to be honest with you, because it seemed like whenever we had our arena, it was like he was tearing all the hockey stuff out and just making it an entertainment venue, and that just drove us nuts as far as the club is concerned.
I see that, yeah.
See, you know, that's the questions that we've been talking about. When we talked about on the last show, if you remember, John, about the fact that if the Islanders were going to leave Barclays and go to either Citi Field,
right,
you know, right by
the,
where the, all the auto parts place is, that Wilpons wanted to put the field there, or go to or that Belmont, where the Cosmos are trying to get. But again, they're, you know, they, I think the unique troubles that the Panthers have, not only as an entity of, you know, there, but their booster club as well, or as far as for the arena, is that that's the only game in town, obviously outside of a concert or a circus performance. You know, most of the teams that you see here, Washington, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, you know, maybe not Pittsburgh as much, but, you know, those places have two sports teams in their arena. So there's always something going on. So it's tough when you're the only game in town. And when you have a situation with a management property group that's running it, a.k.a. Yormark, in either case, Florida or Brooklyn, you know, obviously you guys know, what have we had all year in Long Island?
Well, right. That's the thing. They have concerts and this and that. But that's the problem why I think they're not going to leave Brooklyn.
Well, no, but the problems that Yormark has caused to the fans.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have a good relationship in Florida, and his brother's not having a good relationship now. So what is...
Right.
What do you hope, obviously, other than winning a Stanley Cup, because we all want to win a Stanley Cup, but what do you think is the biggest thing that's going to make Florida take that next step?
Sorry, I just bopped him in the head. That's all right. Well, we do have two Rookie of the Year Calder winners, and Jonathan Huberdeau and Aaron Ekblad. We have two Hall of Famers in Jaromir Jagr and Roberto Luongo. So I think that with that core in our first line and our second line, like when you in the series with the Islanders, yes, we did lose Game 6, a bad call. But our first line was shut down by you guys. You guys shut us down. Jagr didn't have the playoffs that he wanted. And we deserved a Game 7, but we didn't get it.
Tavares took the team on his back.
Yeah, and that was the difference.
Yeah,
that was the difference maker in that series, was that JT just stepped up and
put the team on his back.
You know, but I just think that Florida played a better series.
After the bad call. Did you hear? You heard that. After the bad call. Yeah, I know. They had two bad calls. Yeah, two bad calls. But, I mean, Jaromir Jagr at 44? He's 44 now, right? Or did he turn 45 yet? He's 44.
And he's playing like he's 30.
Right. He's playing like he's 30.
And you got him again. He's
got
again,
he's
right?
Got again, for the women in this audience, he's got a body like Adonis. You know, I mean, I've seen him walking, you know, between the Islander locker room in that last year, and I'm like, you seriously? You know, I mean, the guy is built, and I think he's loving life down there. I mean, am I wrong to say that?
He's actually, I had a big discussion about that because we had a lot of players come to Florida and loving the life, basically, the golfing and, you know, the beach and basically not performing. They were just there like, hey, I'm just finishing my career. I'm finishing my career here. So when the new owners signed Jagr, they came to the table and they started discussing. And I said, well, we have a history here of signing these old players. And I said, let's just wait and see. That was my thing about it. Well, obviously, I was totally wrong, okay? And I'm happy that I was wrong because we had some players that just didn't want to perform. They were just there to finish their career.
Right.
So, and we had that 10-year drought, and that was horrible for us, you know, because we didn't make the playoffs. But now we're doing very well.
You're in the right direction, right?
Exactly.
Now.
Yep. Exactly.
And you got Jagr again, and you got Luongo, and he's an ex-Islander. We all love him.
Luongo's injured right now, so we're going with the other goaltender.
Well,
does he have a pizzeria or something down there?
No, well, it's not him. It's his father-in-law that owns the pizzeria. That's actually how he met his wife. It's kind of a nice story. And they actually sold that original pizzeria and opened another one, but it's a great place.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
We'll have to. There's a game in November, John. We play there in November, John.
How do you guys like the pizza here in New York? Did you eat any?
I'm sorry, say it again.
How do you like the pizza here in New York?
I actually didn't get any.
Oh.
I would have liked to.
How do you like the pizza?
Yeah, there's pizza here, John.
Do any of you guys get any bagels here or anything? What do you think of the bagels?
Bagels are great. We went to different places each day.
That's the way to go. New York has the best bagels.
That we do.
Best Irish bars.
Best Irish bars, yes. Downtown Patchogue. Okay, I'm coming towards the back of the room.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you hear I had uh-ohs going back here? Anyhow, I got my friends from Chicago here. And we all know, obviously, what's been going on in Chicago the last few years. 3 cups in 6 years.
Incredible.
Incredible run.
And they got probably the rookie of the year.
Oh,
yes.
Panera Bread. The bread
man. I don't know how they could win as many cups as they've won and still draft as good as they did. Good job.
It's called Stan Bowman, right?
Yeah.
I think he learned a lot from his father. He's a very quiet man, but you can always see the wheels turning. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
So what do you, I mean? Obviously,
well, you got
they lose that they lose Ladd, and again, I we were saying that's such their loss our gain.
Yes.
I mean, what do you say to what should Islander fans expect from Andrew Ladd?
Like you said before, good leadership. I think he's very focused on the ice. I think he sees the play and knows where to go, to move around and everything. But he's very focused. He's a great team guy. Great team.
He's a good playmaker.
If you've got a lot of younger players and people that haven't been to a Stanley Cup playoff and gone that far, you need someone like him in the locker room that's going to calm them down or bring them up. He can read what's going on the ice and then take that into the locker room and get them going.
That's what we need. That's the one thing this team has been lacking. The Islanders stand.
I agree with John 100% with that. That's what we have been lacking. Because JT is JT, but he can't do it all, and we needed other players. And we had a lot of young players.
You know who our real guy, in my opinion, is? Seabrook. He's the guy that calmed down Jonathan Toews when he went ballistic in 2010 against Detroit. You guys got to us, and that's fine because I saw it. You know, and I'm watching Jonathan in the penalty box and thinking, oh, my God, who the devil is that in that jersey? Because that's not the Jonathan I know. But Seabrook skates over, sits him down, talks to him, and we got a Stanley Cup in the end, but we had to calm Jonathan down. Detroit got to him that game, but Seabrook was able to come in. Yes, we have other leaders, you know, in there, but I saw the real good side of Seabrook in that series. And to this day, he is still a leader on the ice. Very right. quiet. He's like the psychologist, you know, for the Blackhawks. That's my opinion.
Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, guys?
Yeah. Yep, sure.
But again,
plus they have John, got Kane, too. He's insane.
Okay, now that can sometimes, and I can sometimes love him, sometimes hate him, but basically he's matured so much from that experience he had a year ago.
Right.
He has really grown up. He's taken on more roles of being out in the community. I'm not saying that he's going to parallel what Jonathan Toews does, because Toews does everything so quietly. It seems the press will follow someone that may lose it, and then, oh, look, we've got a 5 o'clock mm-hmm. story. You know,
yep.
Patrick is very close to McDonough. That relationship started a couple years ago, and each day McDonough will come in, you know, that they're together, he sits him down and talks to him. And yes, Patrick's parents are very close. But I think it's someone like McDonough. If you were at the 2008 convention in Chicago, he came and spoke to us. And I remember Dan Gabanelli poking me and saying, oh, my God, you guys watch out. You know, it's McDonough. You've got to start at the top and work down. He's a very solid person. And he has been able to take someone that's a loose cannon and start to make him, mold him into someone who's more mature. And I think now let's see what he can really do when he can focus more on the ice.
What did you guys think of Nicky Leddy before he came to us?
Loved him. I've been with the Blackhawks since 1968, and when we've lost players over the years. I mean, obviously we lost Bobby Hull, but that's a whole other era. But when we lost someone like Leddy, and then we lost Ladd, I just wanted to call up and scream at somebody, but I can't. So I just scream at everybody else. But no, Leddy, I was at the game, the puck goes off his chest into the net, and L.A. goes on in 2014 to win the cup.
Right.
And
right.
We knew when we walked out of there, we weren't going to see Leddy again. And that just ripped me apart. I thought he was solid. He was quiet. He knew what he had to do. He was focused. So.
That's what he's a very focused player.
Yes,
yeah, we are very lucky to have him. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
No, definitely.
Yeah, and I tend to follow my former Hawks on other teams. So, and I'm cheering for them.
So actually, because now you can follow, you can follow a lot of the Islander games now.
Yeah, because you got Leddy and Ladd now.
Yeah, you got Leddy and Ladd.
Yeah. I've already I emailed you, and I said take care of our boy. Yeah.
We're very excited about
that. She certainly did. And again, that's. To me, that's one of the things that brings this convention all around. You know, they lost one of their favorite players to us, and immediately the next day I got an email from Jones saying, you know, you're going to love Andrew Ladd. And, you know, you wouldn't expect that from the average baseball fan, you know, in some other place. You know, you wouldn't say good luck to A-Rod, would you?
No,
you wouldn't. So, but again, that's the difference between our.
I might say some other things.
Yeah, exactly. You know, don't do a Philadelphia with Santa Claus, right? Is that what he's trying to say?
Oh, for Christ's sake, that was 1960 something.
See, it's all in good love. All in good love. Well, you were asking before.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I'm going there. I'm
go
going
to the Islanders. I want to talk to the Islander guy. Islander man.
Oh, what? To Ed from
Mark? Just for a minute, yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'll go over that way. Hold on. I just need to lift your chair up, John.
There's one eye on the fans plus everybody else.
Well, Ed's a little tired. Okay. Ed's had a long week, you know. But he actually, unlike Claire and I, we didn't renew our seats after 27 years. But Ed went to every game but one, right?
Yeah, it was a snow out game.
Yeah, it was one of those. I think we had the 33 inches of snow in New York City
that day. Yep, remember that.
And they played the game.
So, between you and I and everybody else in this room.
Just between us.
What are your individual thoughts on the Barclays Center?
It's not bad. I mean, you have to take a train to get there, but my seat, I have a good sight view, so But if you're on the other side, on the opposing goalie, you can't see. That's the goalie from that side.
Now, if I remember correctly, just nod. The guys from Phoenix, did you go see games at the USA Arena? And did you guys have the same problem where if you actually stood in front, you know, we're in the back behind the net, you couldn't see it?
We had those seats, and they were the best in town.
They were the best in town. What made it so special to be on, to have those obstructed seats, though? Wow.
What did she say?
Wow, there's hope for us yet.
What did she say?
She loves her obstructed seats.
Oh.
Yeah.
They probably had the same thing we got. We have a big giant TV, so you could watch it better on the TV than looking down at
the... Well, now, let me ask you, I'm a fan, season ticket holder, as you are. What do you think of the moves that Gart Snow made in free agency and who we lost? What is your opinion on that?
Well, like I told Mike Milbury, I'm tired of losing jerseys. I keep buying $200 jerseys, and it's like a kiss of death. I'll buy a jersey, and next year they're gone.
Yeah, Milbury, I'll tell you, I would have a few choice words to tell Milbury, too, for what he did to his team.
So it's the same thing. We get these guys, and they stay a couple of years, and you go out and buy a jersey, and then they're gone the next year.
Franz hurt me, losing Franz.
No, I didn't have a Franz, but I lost two this year.
Yeah.
Kalaposo and Martin.
It's a tough one with Martin, because he's a really...
I thought he was going to stay, you know.
I was hoping somebody else would have went.
You know, because... He was a big guy that hit him and Clutterbuck. They were leading the team in his.
Yeah, I think Martin's going to be a bigger loss than people, think, are kind of wanting to say. I think, you know, the hits, you know, that kind of player, you know, you could, you know, Chimera does a lot of other things, but I don't know. You can't, to me, the value of Martin in a lot of other areas for this team, you know, team toughness.
Some nights I thought the fourth line was the best line out there.
Oh, 100%. Well, I agree with you 100%.
Hits and Clutterbuck had 15 goals. Martin had close to 10.
Yeah.
And Casey Vizekas had close to that. And
Casey's a wonderful player.
He's probably going to pick it up. He'll replace Martin.
Yeah.
Maybe hopefully.
It'll be tough. He just doesn't have the size. Martin had that size, though.
Yeah. You know.
But we'll see what happens. So what do you think of that lad and those?
Well, from years ago... They bought all 20 goal scorers, so hopefully if we can get at least the same amount of goals, it looks good.
Yeah, I think so. I think that the guys we got, you know, I think are great. You know, I think that's going to work out well.
And we just got to find out who's going to play with John Tavares.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is, they got to stick with him and keep that line
together.
Keep
the lines together, yeah.
And sign Johnny for a long... The Islanders are making a big mistake, in my opinion. He's $5.5 million right now. They should sign him. Before he gets...
Well, they can't sign him until July 1.
Right, that's what I'm going to
say. July 1 next year, when he's got 1 year left on his contract, that's when the window gets open, and Garth can do whatever, obviously, he needs to do.
Before he heads out somewhere where we don't want him to go.
You know, we talked a lot of East Coast. How about we go to the West?
Let's go to the West.
How about we go all the way out to the West, as far west as we can go?
Hawaii?
No, I don't think. Wouldn't you like an AHL team in Hawaii?
That would be pretty cool. I go.
Yeah,
out.
See, my buddy Rick here from LA goes to Hawaii every year, so that would be perfect.
And I'm
going to
be there in September, so
transition year in LA. What do you think? He's a man of few words.
We need some help on defense. You know, they can't keep riding Dowdy the way they've been riding. They're going to wear the poor guy out. I mean, he's kid's a stud. Can't,
I agree with you.
Can't ride him like that. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Dustin Brown losing taking the C away from him.
Time out.
Wait, by the way, John, I know he's come a couple times in the studio with his LA Kings jersey on.
So I have a Dustin Brown jersey.
He's a big Dustin Brown fan. And you know, he actually... He's been only with us for a couple of months. He was on another. He did a show with a friend of his who is as diehard of a Ranger fan, and he is an Islander fan. And these guys are both former cops. So he comes in after when the Kings won against the Rangers in the Stanley Cup Finals with his Dustin Brown jersey, and he was dancing around like a 10-year-old kid. So
they just had a brand new ice cream pop. I was very excited about that.
I was dancing around like that in the arena.
Yeah, that's great. So now they took, I didn't know this, they took the C away from Brown?
Yeah, they took the C away from Brown, from what I've been able to kind of read between the lines and some of the stuff I've seen. Supposedly there's a little bit of friction maybe between Dustin and Daryl Sutter, or Dustin and Dean Lombardi, and they took the C away from him and gave it to Anjay Kopitar.
Wow.
I don't know if they're going to give Dustin one of the A's or not, because I don't know what the status of Matt Green is, because Green had back surgery during the season. I don't know if he's going to come back or not. So I don't know what the dynamics there is. I think Dean may be trying to trade Dustin Brown, but I don't think he's going to be able to because of his contract.
Yeah, he's got some heavy numbers.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens once the season starts. You know, Dustin said pretty much all the right things in the paper that, you know, he agrees with why they did it or whatever, and he's still there. He's still going to be a leader whether he's got one of the letters or not, but it's just going to be interesting to see what happens.
Now, Rick has been coming to conventions since 1998. He came the year after we hosted here on Long Island and in St. Louis, absolutely. And, you know, he became a quick friend immediately. Similar senses of humor. Actually, a lot of conversations that I cannot say on the radio right now. And there's a lot of laughs going. Obviously, there's a lot of love in this room.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, and it doesn't matter what team you're rooting for. It's just we're, like Gary says, we're one big dysfunctional family, and it's true. We thanks, Bill. Fight on, brother. You know, we just get together. It's like a big family reunion. We laugh, we cry, we drink. We drink some more, but it's just fun. And you know, when the week's over, it's like, oh man, I got to go back home, go back to work. I'm missing everybody already. And you know, a lot of us have countdowns on our phones, and we've already started a countdown for next year's convention.
Well, that's the 50 years for you guys, right? 50 years.
So we're talking about next year's convention in LA.
Right. So I'm talking about, isn't that 50 years for the Kings though?
Yeah, 50 years of the Kings next year.
Yeah, so that's a big one.
What's that?
That's a big one for you.
Yeah. It's they've got a lot of stuff planned. I know they're redoing the jerseys again this year, and they're gonna all throughout the year they're gonna wear at least one or two games of every jersey they've ever worn, every crown they've ever worn, or every crest. So it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be fun.
Even that ugly purple and white one they came out with, that third jersey for a couple of years.
Burger King guy.
The Burger King guy.
The Burger King guy.
I hope not.
Now, again, we've had people here in this room, John, that have been coming to conventions for a number of years, and we also have people that have been coming. This is their first one. We call them, she's finished. Again, affectionately call her, we don't call them, you know, we call them rookies during the week, but obviously she's done. You know, it's kind of like, it was kind of like when you went in basic training, John, except a lot nicer.
Wow.
So, what was your again? We've talked. I've met this young lady online on Facebook, and she got to realize, I'm sure, very quickly how much of a crazed family we are here. So, what was an experience as a first time convention person like?
Well, it's by far the best I've ever been to.
That's a good one.
Do we have Captain Obvious here now, right now? No.
Wait, what team is she? What team is she representing?
Well, she's here representing Buffalo, but she lives in Las Vegas, Nevada, the home of a new team next year.
Are you excited about the new team coming to Vegas?
Yes, I am. Very.
No, I heard they're selling a lot of tickets, right?
A couple years ago they started, when they started doing, you know, building the arena. We needed so many season ticket holder to get even the arena going.
And the casinos are buying a lot, I heard, too. Things are changing. Yeah.
Things are changing. They're starting to charge parking and such where they weren't before. So a lot of the locals are upset about that.
It's not just gambling anymore in Vegas.
No, I know that.
I mean, who would have thought? I mean, would you ever have thought that you'd see a professional organization? And, I mean, obviously, They've supported an ECHL team before.
Right.
Jiggs mentioned in the speech on Friday that Butch Goring actually coached over there, and he had no issues with any of the things that go on in your town. And, you know, I think it's going to be totally different now. I mean, obviously, you know, we're still waiting for obviously we have a GM, in George McPhee, obviously former GM of the Washington Capitals, actually served under Garth Snow for the last 2 years in Long Island.
Right.
There's actually, I don't know if you know this, John, but there's actually an issue that we saw online this week that, you know, one of the names that they were looking to make the team was the Knights.
Right, and they got the copy.
And the Knights' name up in Canada is locked. They can't use it because the London Knights, who obviously is owned by former Washington Capitol player and number one on the Islander death list.
Mr. Hunter?
Mr. Hunter.
Yeah,
they have the rights to it in Canada, so they're not allowed to use that name. So be interesting to see when they finally get that decision out as to what the name's going to be.
Okay, go. I want to ask her a question about Buffalo.
There's been a bunch of names, but I think the number one that was coming up on the list was either Black Knights or Knights.
I want to ask her a question.
Bankruptcy.
I wanted to ask her a question about Buffalo.
Oh, question about well.
She's
fairly new to hockey, so it's
what?
Yeah, actually I got a Buffalo one here. Okay. I got a Buffalo one here. So you want to ask the question? My friend Chris here from Buffalo will definitely answer it for you.
Are you excited? Now, are you excited about a Poso coming up there?
Yes, we are. Because he's worked well with Molson in the past, so we hope Molson will pick up his game from what he's been the past year.
That's what I like to hear. I don't know. We miss Molson down here.
He was great, especially with Eichel. He took Eichel lived with him this past season. And during our games, they show like a highlight reel of different players and their families. They had Eichel on there playing with Molson's kids, and they showed how he does part of the work for the family, does some of the laundry, does some of the grocery shopping, and the little girls have a horse that they ride. Eichel looked like he was ready to take the kids off the horse and start riding the horse around the kitchen.
Eichel's a fantastic young player.
Yes, he is.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Poso is actually the godfather of one of Molson's kids, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yes. Mm-hmm.
So that might be another reason why Poso went up there.
Yes.
It was bond with him up there.
Yeah.
We're going to miss Poso, you know.
We're glad he decided to come to Buffalo and work with Molson and everything else. So should be an interesting season.
I think Buffalo could is one of those fringe teams that could very well make the playoffs with the moves they've made in the offseason.
Yes.
So I think they're a very solid team.
And the younger players are stepping up their games, so we're getting, you know, more out of them, and they're learning things, so it should really be a better season.
And you got a good coach.
Yes.
And you got
a really good coach.
Yes. You got a really good coach.
Yes.
Yep, cool coach.
Yeah.
Time for a break?
Okay,
I think we're going to take a break. Yeah, we are taking a break. We're going to pay a couple bills. We're going to go through the last hour of Sports Talk 1240. WGBB, Gary John, and John live from the NHL BCC convention at the Hyatt Regency Long Island Hot Pog. We will be back in a couple minutes.
You are listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today. Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Okay, we are back live in the last half hour of Sports Talk 1240. By the way, just breaking news that just came out. We were talking about the 100-meter dash at the Olympics, and Usain Bolt from Jamaica won his third consecutive gold medal, beating Justin Gatlin.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah.
Fastest man in the world.
Fastest man in the world. I don't know if it's a record time yet, but it...
Any news? No. I haven't seen that yet, but he won unexpectedly, yeah.
Right. So what was the question you wanted to ask?
I wanted to ask, well, the other one answered about a POSO. Well, she, we talked, so that's what I wanted to ask her about a POSO.
Okay, then let me get back on the mic and we'll walk back over.
And I want to thank, once again, I want to thank our president, Claire, too, also, for doing a great job, Claire. Outstanding this year. Did a good job. I missed you at the Met game. Yeah, a lot of things going on. You guys are going to Gold Coast stuff and Gary was telling
me. Are we on? Yeah, I'm on. Okay.
But I did see you guys on Facebook Live with the miniature golf.
I wasn't there either.
Oh, you weren't
there.
I was
holding down the fort.
Oh, you were holding. Okay.
Somebody has to do that.
I saw the guy. I saw everybody play. I saw Gary putting.
Yeah, there was they got me putting.
All right, so now we have the president of the Islanders Booster Club on, and I want to hear her opinion of what she thinks of the off-season moves that the Islanders did.
I think they're good. It's like I was so busy with this convention. I'm really not into it quite yet. But I think Glad will be a great addition. And I will miss Elke. Was one of my favorite players. Again, I had his jersey, so that goes away for now.
Yeah.
I think they will miss Martin because I think he's good in the locker room. He's the one that greeted the players or sent them off on the ice, and there was he was good with everybody. So I think what he did for the team will be missed, definitely.
Now, John, you know, over the past few months during the season, especially when you were on, when you come on to our show, you've made some comments about her favorite player. And I come home from the show, or she listens to it the next day, and she hears these comments. She's not happy with you.
That has to be Josh Bailey, number 12.
It is Josh
Bailey. Which is Claire, one of Claire's favorite. And I just received a picture about a couple of weeks ago from her and with Josh.
Yes, and I got to meet him again.
Yes, and let's hope that Josh plays
Yes,
a little better this year.
Him about that. No.
You sat him down?
Right.
I think he's going to play better.
Well,
he
is, because now he has a baby. I don't know if it's been born while we were gone. I know it was a boy, but I'm not sure if it's been born yet. We've been out of touch at this point. But, I really do hope he steps up because, everybody does expect him to score, to score, to score. But he's not that type of player. He's a setup guy. And, they pick on him an awful lot. And I think he does a better job than people give him credit for.
Yeah, I think this year is his year. He's going to come back as he did a couple of years ago when the playoffs against Pittsburgh. He played well. And that's what he got his contract with. But also now let's get back to the convention, because you're the president and you did it. Everyone's been raving about it, how great of a job you did. So tell me your highlight.
Highlight was Friday night. Because we invited members that have been in our club, I don't even know how long they first came, but they're in there. They're all either 90 or close to it. Their sisters and their husbands, and they were the highlight of these conventions in the past. They were the life of the party. They came around, their whole group, there was about 8 or 10 of them. Every day they'd have the same outfits on. They coordinated it throughout the year. And they had kazoos that sometimes drove some people crazy. But they were fun-loving. They were out on the dance floor all the time.
But exactly, they were great dancers. And, you know, obviously as years go by, you know, health reasons and such, they can't make it anymore. And when we were setting things up, I said, it really would be nice if they would be able to come. And it was touch and go, but both couples showed up, and they had a ball. They were thrilled to be here, and we were thrilled to have them here.
That's great.
Touching, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and see, that's what it's all about. Right. You know, it's all about the friendships. It's all about the craziness. I can talk about certain drinks that were made in Winnipeg over the years that were just, you know, it'll blow your mind away, John. I mean, and that's what it's all about. You know, in my case, I can give you a story, and you know, most of the people these people are not here, so I can actually do it. My rookie year in Chicago, there's a thing that goes on every convention here on Saturday night after the last hospitality room closes. It's called Survivor Night. And my rookie year, I was 25. And I figured, what the heck, I'll stay up all night or whatever. I knew I didn't have to leave till Monday morning, so at least I can crash and whatever all day. But we had this guy, he's actually from Long Island, he's actually from the town next to me, but he comes as a member of the Devil's fan club. And this guy at this time thought he was going to be kind of like, remember the drill sergeant from the movie Full Metal Jacket?
Of course.
Okay?
Yes.
He thought he was Rarley Ermey. And myself and this other gentleman from the Ranger fan club, mind you, we finally decided enough was enough. You know, it's like being, you know, again, we were talking about the rookie phase, okay?
Yes.
You know, we kind of, you know, make them do certain things or, you know, all in fun, okay? But this guy was trying to be a drill sergeant. So, you know, it was one time where a Ranger fan and an Islander fan teamed up and took care of matters in our own hands. We kind of let our friend know that, you know, enough is enough. But, you know, those are the little things as far as it goes. But, you know, it's those things and all the other avenues and all the other things that we all do together that makes this event so special. And, again, anybody that's listening to here on WGBB, whether you're an Islander fan, a Ranger fan, even have another sport, these types of organizations, fan clubs, booster clubs, obviously we've been around for 46 years, and the dynamic of a fan/booster club with the advent of social media, with the ability to get information out 10 minutes before you even thought it was going out, it's changed. You know, our environment has changed. I know when I first joined this organization in 1989, I remember talking to somebody from the Flyers fan club, and they said, you know, we have 2,200 members. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, unfortunately, in 2017, with the advent of things, you know, the environment's changed. However, I think the close-knitness of this group has gotten even stronger. You know, and it's not because we've been coming for so many years, but it's just what we do as individual clubs, you know. Not just are we all here hanging together, but we talk during our Saturday morning meeting about things like, you know, what things do for charity. Example, the Detroit Red Wings fan club. They do unbelievable stuff for charity. You name it, they do it. You know, whether it's a bowling party, whether it's this kind of charity function, whether it's this. We do the same thing. So do the Flyers. So do the Rangers. So is everybody in this room. You know, collectively, if you really sat down and you put it, all the numbers together, that all the things we've done, you know, we as a collective unit raise tens and tens of thousands of dollars for charities throughout the U.S. and Canada, and
which is amazing.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it because, you know, when we tell people at our booster club table, you know, it's what you make of it. It's what you do, and in here you got the best of it, and you know that's an organization that I am honored to be proud of, and I want to be able to stay in here as long as I can, and everybody else too. You know, we do this for the sport we love, we do this for the friends we love in this room, but, you know, without the game of hockey, and that's where, you know, it turns us into rivals, but, you know, that's the best part of it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I want to give Claire, congratulations, Claire. Good job.
You know I love you, even though...
You're next.
You know, we talked with Bill earlier, John, about the Pittsburgh Penguins and all their success that they had. But you remember, they played a team that surprised a lot of people as well, the San Jose Sharks.
That's right.
And yep. I got my buddy Pam here, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Sharks. And her daughter is laughing hysterically. Did you guys really think... Again, same question I asked Bill, because obviously they had a coaching change. Did you think in December, I know the Sharks were struggling a little bit in the beginning, did you think that they were going to be able to do the run that they did?
No, not at all. I was surprised.
What was the biggest thing that you came out that totally blew your mind, you know, as far as the run?
When they beat L.A. I think once they beat L.A., we had a chance.
Again, guys, if we had a video camera, this would not be good.
Well, they've had a problem with the Kings. The Kings have been beating them the last couple of years.
Yes.
Jonathan Quick is, and the boys have been standing on their head playing you guys.
It was hard when they were up three series. The Kings came back and won the last four games. That was heart-wrenching.
I think it's all about the beards. I think that's what made the difference.
Yes, in St. Louis, Thornton and Marcus had their little pulling contest.
Yep. I mean, look at the teams you guys played. If you know, the Blues, the Kings. I mean, you had some fantastic series.
Yes,
you had a good run.
Very good run.
I think also the emergence of Martin Jones.
Yes.
I mean, obviously,
incredible.
You know, was a backup in L.A., and of course, he's shaking his head. But he was, I mean, he did an absolute phenomenal job, and I think that was a big problem with the San Jose had. They didn't have, you know, they had good goaltending. You had, you had Niemi there for a while, you know, and Martin Jones finally, I think, took that team to another level.
I agree with you.
I think the change of the coach, at first I wasn't sure what he was going to be like, but I fell in love with him. He did a fantastic job with the Sharks. And then they made some changes, you know, traded people and got other people in, too. So it was a great series the whole rest of the year.
So what's your outlook for this season coming up now?
I think it's going to be fantastic. As I told a lot of people, I think they're going to be the Penguins of 2008. I think they're going to hopefully come back next year, and they get the experience. There's a lot of them, this is their first Stanley Cup. And they'll be probably the Penguins of 2008 and come back next year and hopefully win it.
Kings fan man over there is shaking his head. No. You're like,
by the way, here's an interesting thought about this. Now, Pam is now in California, but however, years back, she was in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
So that's an interesting quandary. I'm sure, you know, that's a dynamic. Your former team that you rooted for, your team that you support that you live in, they're both in the Stanley Cup playoffs against each other. That must have been quite an interesting.
Oh, so you're originally a Penguins fan.
I'm originally from Pittsburgh.
So you're a Penguins fan, and you.
And I moved to California 20 years ago when I married a native Californian who I also met at a convention.
Oh wow!
Yeah, wow.
That's a nice story.
Yes. And I rooted for the Sharks mainly because of my daughter. It was her first Stanley Cup, so I was doing pretty good with them. Rooting for them as much as I could, but the last game, the sixth game, I had my Penguin jersey underneath my Sharks jersey. And when it was all done, the Sharks jersey came off. And I, for my Penguin fans, you know, it was so phenomenal to finally see the Penguins. It was nice for me to see them when it there.
Right.
I loved it. You know, I was there for the 91 and 92 series, and they won it on the road. So for me, it was great to see them win it.
That was a win-win situation for you then.
Yes. It was hard.
Okay. We got a phone call. Good. I'm glad. I'm glad somebody took the time to call. So, please identify yourself. You're on Sports Talk 1240.
Do you guys know what the only thing worse than two Islander fans at a table hosting a show is?
Oh, no.
It's when right. Derek, it's when Derek calls.
We have to kind of...
hold on, ladies and gentlemen. This is the ultimate Ranger fan.
Fans at a table hosting a show.
I don't know if they can they hear him out here?
Yeah, they can hear him.
He's still celebrating that big overtime goal by Tavares right now. He's still celebrating that.
Tavares took that team on his back, my friend, and he's going to do it again this year.
By the way, this is one of our co-hosts on our station. He's a huge Ranger fan.
You're absolutely right.
He also works at MSG.
Yeah, well, this is a Ranger fan that is ecstatic over Grabner coming to the Rangers this right now. And when he was with the Islanders.
Don't lie about private conversations, sweetie. The Rangers replaced a loss of speed with Hagelin leaving. Don't lie, okay?
Yes.
And the guy can kill penalties, so let's give him that much. I understand that when he gets a break in on a 2-on-1 or a breakaway, he's going to hit the goalie square in the chest. I understand that. That's fine. You know?
That's yes. Yep, well,
listen, the Rangers did what they had to do. I told you that we talked about this privately. They
yes.
Addressed needs. They were horrible penalty killing last year. They addressed that. They brought in Nathan Gerby. They brought in a guy like Radner. They got younger and saved some money by trading Brassard. Although he was one of the top scorers, he wasn't homegrown. They brought in Zibanejad. He's a good young scorer, be a great second, third line player. And you know what? They still have the base of their core young players, a lot of which really is going to determine how well they do. J.T. Miller, Chris Kreider, Derek Stepan. They know what they have between the pipes, and they got younger on defense. So, you know, I don't know if we talked about this, John, and I'm sure you guys, some Penguin fans, were just thinking, you know, what you thought a year ago as opposed to right now. And the Rangers beat them in the 2015 playoffs in 5 games. Nobody was thinking that Pittsburgh was on the verge of anything. And two and a half months into this previous season, nobody thought Pittsburgh was going anywhere. They fired their coach. They brought Carl Hagelin in on a trade. And in the second half, they finally started scoring goals. And, you know, all of a sudden, they raised their third Stanley Cup trophy in the last 20-some-odd years. So, you know what? Every year is a new chance. You just got to get in the tournament. And for the Rangers, it's really just about how long they keep that window open with Lundqvist between the pipes. You know, he's going to be 35 years old next year. So, I'm glad that you three clowns are together. And you've got the brightness to look forward to with Captain Wilder on the Islanders, because you finally won a series for the first time in 20-something years. But,
right.
You know, on a serious note, think about, you know, I know it's a long time ago, but it's hard to win the Stanley Cup. And the fact that the Islanders won 4 straight Stanley Cups in all those series in a row, and had all those legendary, think about Hall of Fame players or great players. They had immortals of the game on one team at one time, 3 of them. You know, that's why
I can't agree with you more.
You know, you guys have the life still. Had a lifetime, but it was a long time ago, 30 years, so we didn't know.
You're right. Now, look, I've been waiting for the Islanders to get out of that first round.
Right.
The Rangers, the Ranger fans and the Rangers are competing for, they were competing for Stanley Cups. We, as Islander fans, were just waiting to get out of the first round. That was basically my Stanley Cup this year. We got out of the first round and beat you guys down back there. But,
you know,
my question to you is,
it was very exciting how the Islanders won. I mean, Florida,
right, Tavares.
For a young team, it's a great team defense, they had a great series. But the Islanders were so much more opportunistic in overtime. It kind of reminded me of how the Islanders were when I was a kid. They just never lost in overtime. And that's how it was against Florida.
Right.
That's how it was against Florida. Exactly. So what are you giving to them?
I know you want to be smart with me, guy. What do you want to ask?
No, I'm not going to be smart with you. I wanted to ask. Look, you cried out the first round, the 15th overall. You signed him. I think it was a good signing by him. That guy has potential to be a superstar in this league. He's got the size, physical ability to do it. It's just between the ears with that man. But my question to you is,
yeah.
You have the second highest paid player on your team. When he comes in, when the playoffs start, he turns into Casper the Ghost, the Invisible Man, is Nash.
Rick Nash?
Rick Nash, my friend. And what's your situation?
I guarantee you the Rangers probably tried to talk to a few teams in terms of making a trade, and I'm sure it's really not presented itself for the Rangers because other teams probably wanted a player like Stepan or a Kreider or a Miller or whatever it was going to be. Or teams might have been just turned off by Nash's salary. That's something that at this point the Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, $7 million or whatever.
You know what? The guy plays hard. He plays great, you know, defense of the forward position. He works his ass off, and he's a good hockey player. But the bottom line with Rick Nash is, if he ain't scoring goals in the playoffs, that's a problem because he's being paid $7.5 million a year to score goals. So Listen, the weight on his shoulders gets heavier every year. So this year he got away with a little bit because they got bounced in the first round. But the year they went to the Stanley Cup, the year when they lost to Tampa in the semifinals, those kind of experiences as a Ranger fan leave you with little faith in what he's going to do when they get back here. So he's got a lot to prove. You know, he really does. There's no defending.
Right. It's going to be an interesting season. I can't wait for hockey to start with us. And you guys.
Ahead of yourself. What about football? You're not excited about football? We got two new linebackers.
I'm talking about the Jets. Right? Talking with the New York Jets here.
Everybody is brought in that forte, and you can't wait for hockey. Like, are you telling me that it's over with the NFL before preseason?
No, it's not. But we're at a convention, and we have all hockey fans here.
Is that what you're saying?
It's all hockey.
Yeah, today it is, Derek.
Hockey will be here soon enough, but it's like 100 degrees even down here by the beach. So let me ask you guys a question before you cut me loose. It's perfect of ours, right? Like, when I look at what they did in the offseason so far, Angelo has a nice player and all that, but don't you guys feel, looking at your team and what they did getting to the second round this year, don't you think that they really need to bring in? And I talked to you about this, Gary, and I talked to John about this in terms of, like, Mario Lemieux when he came up with Pittsburgh. Don't you guys feel that at some point they really got to bring in some quality offensive guys to surround this MVP-type player with before you really think about winning it all?
Right. Well, now
you got to teach him how to win.
Well, here's the deal. I think Garth did try to go after Stamkos and it just didn't work out, Stamkos. But we always have options for Malcolm.
I think there could be a
Malcolm
trade.
Might be coming our way. I don't know. Look, you're right. I agree with you 100%. Compared to what they lost and what we got back, I don't know. I'm not crazy about it. Maybe Garth has something up his sleeve.
I think there's going to be another trade before
I hope so.
The puck drops in October.
Because the way...
John, do you think they're going to get a big name player to go alongside him? Like a little,
I think they're going to get some. Yeah, I think there's going to be a caliber player. I just think that he's waiting to see where teams are at before. You know, it's kind of be like when they signed Letty and Boychuk at the last second. You know, right. You want to see how the salary things shake out and what teams need what.
Garth has pulled rabbits out of his hat.
So that's my gut feeling.
I think you need some, because those will be two young stud defensemen that they had. I think I agree with you guys. And look at it this way. I was talking about this with Sweeney earlier today. You tell me what you think, Gary and John. It's almost like with basketball with Oklahoma City. They had three big guys with Durant and Westbrook and Harden, and then the first James Harden left. And now this past season, Durant left, and now that's when Westbrook cashed in, and now they're paying him like $27.5 million or something like that a year. Don't you see, like, if the Islanders don't really add and give this MVP-type player something to look forward to in terms of winning a title, don't you think that they're going to be forced to make him the highest-paid player in hockey just to retain him?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, they're gonna pay him in July.
Absolutely.
They have to pay him.
Well, listen, Derek, we got to cut this off because I got a couple minutes left, and we got a few things I need to say.
Too much time as it is, all right? So,
Derek, yeah, I want to say one thing.
Quick.
Let's go Islanders, baby. Yes, yes, yes. Just remember that.
Take it easy, Derek.
See, even we have love affairs, right? 3 minutes. Anyway, I just want to thank everybody for hanging out that's still here at the Hyatt. We always have a couple people that are still staying the last night, you know, so they can travel back home. And I wish everybody that's here a very safe trip back to your homes. On behalf of Claire and myself, and Ed here as well, representing the rest of my starting nine, we love all you guys, and we thank you ever so much for not only being with us all week, but even being us with my other dysfunctional family over here. It's been an absolute pleasure. Guys, we made our first remote.
Good job. And I want to thank everybody for coming here.
Yeah, thank you very much for sitting through this, guys.
Again, for those of you that are listening, again, we're on just about once a month. AM 1240 WGBB.com is our website. At G Harding WGBB is my Twitter handle. At Hockey Blindside is John's. And like I said, if you've ever seen, he writes occasionally on Isles Talk. And like I said, you know, as I told some people here tonight, John is probably one of the most incredible hockey minds I know. And, you know, I have to kind of say, because if people that don't know or are listening, John has been blind since he was a child. And he amazes me every time that we sit and talk, and we talk about players, and we talk about certain situations. And
like I said, you know,
wealth of knowledge, right?
He's a wealth of knowledge. He's amazing. He's an amazing guy. So I thank you so much for being my partner on this for the last 3 years.
Thanks for having me come along for the ride.
Yeah,
and let's hope. I want to hope one thing. John Ledecky just bought the Islanders. Katie Ledecky is his niece. Let's hope she drops the puck opening day and a little of that gold that she's been blowing people away in the water comes our way and we can win something. Again.
Yep. Well, again, I can't thank you guys enough. Hockey Blindside, what's your Alley Cat?
Alley Cat 010.
So, so on behalf of myself and John and John, we want to thank you for coming. We thank you for listening to Sports Talk 1240 WGBB. And we will be on again, I think, sometime in early September. Hockey training camp starts. Football season starts.
Can't wait.
So we got to get into that.
Jets.
World Cup of Hockey. Absolutely. Right, yeah. September 16th.
May all your teams do good this year. You know, whoever you vote.
Good luck to everybody.
Hopefully you guys will make it there. Yeah. Hopefully the Islanders make it this year, too.
We'll see what Malcolm.
I'm going for Malcolm.
All right. Well, again, thank you very much for joining us. Sports Talk 1240 GBB. Have a wonderful Sunday night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.